You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Praise God, we greet you in the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 35th verse. We are desirous to push the people of God into a different place. Now, there is a modern conception that Albert Einstein is reported to have stated that the person who does the same thing in the same way and expects a different result is insane. Well, he never said that. Like so many of our cliches, they come from God only knows where, and then we apply them because the person is not around to defend it. In fact, the person doing the same thing the same way and looking for a different result is not insane. They're just delusional. And delusion doesn't mean you're insane. It means that you have become settled in a certain practice and you're comfortable in the practice, but you're looking for a different outcome. That doesn't mean you're insane. It means that you're afraid to move into new areas. Now, it's a conflict for us as Christians because we want the power of God, but we want it on our terms. We want God to move the way we want him to move and then use what we give him. And God is so faithful. He will use what you give him, but the limit of what you give him is directly related to what he gives back. So if you only sow level 2 consecration, then you're only getting level 2 blessings. Now, there is mercy and grace that may enable God to give you level 3 or 4, at different times. But the consistent blessing is dependent upon where you are. Now, in order for us to fully grasp this message today, I need to call upon your history mind, your mind that says, this is how it was. And why is that important? Because you cannot separate your true human mind from your understanding of the Word of God until you have undergone a mental change. Now, that's a difficult task, and I think that's one of the reasons that we as Pentecostals like to have so much demonstrative praise, because the more we praise God, dance, and become loud and boisterous, then we're not required to think. And so we come to church for that jubilant praise and that physical participation, but we don't think. And the Bible gives us support that it's through the thinking process that your life is changed. When you begin to develop a pattern of behavior, it is the result of your thinking. See, God doesn't come down and take cigarettes out your mouth. God doesn't come and take liquor out your hand. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. In sanctifying you, there are two stages of sanctification. Stage one is when God sanctifies you. He positions you. He puts you where he wants you to be. And he's fully aware that he may be placing us in a sanctification position, but we will bring with us behaviors that have not been sanctified. That's why some of us find ourselves falling back to the old patterns, because we have not sanctified ourselves. God sanctifies you by putting you in a position where you can come to realize that your life is not where it should be, and then you sanctify yourself. His job is to place you. Your job is to live it. You with me? All right, think with me clearly. go through certain areas of the city and the surrounding areas, and there are some places where we euphemistically call them ghettos. Now, ghetto for us today means a section that is deplorable, whose conditions are sub-poverty level and such like. It's a place where most people don't want to live because the view of the ghetto is that it is nasty and the houses are deplorable and there's, you know, all types of wildlife running around and it's just a nasty place. But if you think back to the 1940s and 1930s, a ghetto was simply a conglomeration of all the same ethnic group. There were Jewish ghettos, Polish ghettos, there were Ukrainian ghettos. It was only us that destroyed the ghetto mindset. See, you can go to South Philadelphia where it's a very intense Italian-American population. And those streets are clean, those houses are painted, those sidewalks, they put white paint on the curbs. But that's a ghetto. It's a ghetto because it's filled with an ethnic group. But when you migrate up maybe about 6 or 7 miles north of that, you run into another ghetto, and it's deplorable. Why? Because our mindset hasn't been changed. We believe that we should live that way. We believe that we should be poor. We believe that we should be in debt to credit card companies. We believe that our diet should be unhealthy. Now, no reflection on Pastor Norman. I love him. I've known him ever since I was 17 or 16. No, long before then. And that was about, 20-some years ago. And he's a great, good man of God. But if you heard what he said, the church will be providing hot dogs, beef and turkey, and hamburgers, so forth and so on. He said, but you have to bring mac and cheese, collard greens, and the desserts. Now, your mind is immediately going to sweet potato pie, 7-Up cake, everything that is not necessarily healthy. As soon as you heard mac and cheese, what did you think about? Cheese, milk, butter, everything. Why? Because we are programmed to thinking that the stuff that is bad for us is good to us. Now, I've never heard anybody say, "Man, romaine lettuce, I'm telling you, make you want to slap somebody." Nobody's ever said that asparagus made me speak in tongues. But it's usually the things that are bad for us. Listen carefully. So when you look at the dynamic of Christian lives, and you can see it manifested in on television through the various audiences. Our audience is very, physical in praise and worship. But we don't seem to be moving anywhere with our walk with God. Then you look at some of the others, and they're just sitting there listening, taking notes. And they walk out and tell you they own 5 businesses, their lives are better, their marriages are more secure, their children are in college and not getting student loans because they have been taught how to appropriate what God has said. So we've been led to believe that we aren't having church until the ushers wrap you and the deacons catch you. But in certain cultures, they believe they have church when they walk out and make it work in their everyday life. And so with that concept in mind, this will probably be the most difficult task of my ministry, is getting my people to think differently. It is hard. And I am not standing here and suggesting that I'm going to be totally successful. Jesus is a billion trillion times better than me, and he couldn't get 12 men to think differently. But I'm going to give it a good try. And it starts with us understanding that you must grow weary of mediocrity when you are serving a great God. If you had a friend whose finances were unlimited, if you had someone in your life that was directly connected to you, either through DNA or serious friendship or relationship, and they said to you, all right, I have $10 million. I don't have any mortgage. I don't have any credit card debt. And you're my friend. So you just, I'm going to take you to the store. No, we're going to go to Fifth Avenue in New York, in Manhattan. And I just feel led of the Lord to take you to Fifth Avenue. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Fifth Avenue, but if you've been to Fifth Avenue, you will notice that there are no Marshalls and no Walmarts on Fifth Avenue. There are no Kmarts, none of those places. In fact, every store there has private security just to keep people who don't think right out of those stores. Are you hearing me? All right, so if I say to you, we're going there, we take the train, and so we get off at Penn Station, we get a cab, he takes us over and drops us off at Fifth Avenue, and you get out of the cab, and I say, now, from this street down to this street, from 57th down to, say, 60th Avenue, on Fifth Avenue, 57th Street to 60th Street, you can walk those three blocks on each side and get whatever you want. Now, you're going to pass Louis Vuitton, you're going to pass St. John, you're going to pass all these stores, Brioni, you're going to pass all these stores, and you're going to have to take a chance because you're not accustomed to shopping at those stores. So you're going to go in and do the ghetto shop, which means I'm going to just go in and look around. Well, most people who enter those stores, they don't look around. You don't shop there. You know what you want, so you go in and get it. Why? Because their mindset is such, they already know what's in the store. They've already done the shopping, so they go into the store to buy. You hearing me? So it's a change of mind. Now, would you want to go to Walmart if somebody is offering you Fifth Avenue? But yet we do that with God. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And yet we are satisfied with a day-to-day existence of poverty thinking, poverty living, and poverty application in our health. Why? Because we're comfortable. Our ancestors spent the better part of 400 years trying to get out of slavery. The problem was that when they got out of physical slavery, they did not get out of mental slavery. And that's what made us as a people so susceptible to what they called the carpetbaggers, those who came from the north selling pipe dreams. We brought that same mindset to the north, a dependency on people to bail us out, and now we are the same way. Why? Because we have not made up our minds to go to the other side. This is the reason the Lord said, you need to spend 3 days with the congregation and teach them my plan and my word so that they can go forward. I am not going to be revealing my heart for the ministry and the vision. It's not a business meeting. Those 3 days are going to be formed to introduce you to the kingdom of God and the principles that he has given to us so that your life can change. I guarantee you, if you apply what I give you for those 3 days, your body will be healed, your mind will be regulated, and you will begin to see differences in your lives, not from some hocus-pocus regimen, but from you changing how you do things. And it's my responsibility to do that. And so today we're going to begin to lay that foundation to push you where God wants you. Are there troubles in the world? Yes. Are there problems that come against us? Yes. But they have nothing to do with our response mechanism. You choose who you will believe. The devil can't make you believe. He throws options, but you have to choose who you're going to believe. Now, the other week, God and I were in conversation, and I said, Father, why is it that your children seem to struggle with believing you? He said, because there are too many other people they believe. We believe our doctors more than God. If our doctor looks at an x-ray and says, your leg is decapitated and it's only going to last for another 6 weeks, I recommend that we replace it. You'll walk out and say, doctor said I got to replace it. Why? Because the doctor said it. Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes you're healed. We don't say, well, God said I'm healed. All right, just see. All right, now. All right, listen. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus has performed a substantial miracle. And the Bible says that on the same day when the evening was come, verse 35, he said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. Now, I know in a very simplistic way, he's just saying, let's go to the other side. But it is important to realize that when Jesus gives a directive, look at ways you can apply it to your everyday life. We are stuck as a people because we've been trained to be stuck. Take a survey of most young people, you know, that are just entering high school, and they will say, I just can't wait to graduate. Well, what are your plans after you graduate? Get a job. Why? Because that's what their parents were taught. And their parents told them the same thing. Why? Because we are content with being blessings for everybody else, but not being blessed. We are afraid to go where God has prepared. One fear could be because you'll lose your contemporaries, your close buddies, who don't want to see you grow. There are people who want to live in rundown houses. You can't help them if you gave them a house. If you gave them a brand, I was watching this old house. I don't know, over the last week, I just become nostalgic for this old house. I think I'm going back to my trade and leave the pastorate. But you know, because the Bible said what is, was, and what was will be again. So for the past couple of weeks, I've just been nostalgic for this old house. And I was watching it, and I started salivating. You know, oh, my gosh, they were cutting and building, and I'm just sitting there going, wow, wow. You know, just visions running through my head. And they went to Roxbury to rebuild these two houses that were demolished. Now, if you know anything about Boston, Roxbury is the hood part of Boston. It's where visitors don't go. They go to Harvard, you know, they go to the Revolutionary War sites, but nobody visits Roxborough. Now, the interesting thing about these particular episodes of this old house is if you know anything about this old house, they usually have Norm Abrams, you know, they have the contractor, Tom Silva, they have the plumbing guy, Richard Twithui, you know, they have all of these Japhethites that are working in most of the houses in the Boston area. But when they got to Roxbury, they had a brother who was the general contractor. Now, Tom Silva didn't come. And this is the first time I've never seen Tom in a series of rebuilding a house. And so I had to laugh about that. And all of the carpenters and all of the workers were Hamites. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you look at the mindset of how that house had decayed. And so the city works with this other nonprofit group to recreate these houses, to rebuild them. And they looked beautiful when they were done. But here's the problem. The house is beautiful. And I mean, they did that. That brother, he did that house. I was impressed. And I thought to myself, that beautiful house, but who are they going to put in it? Chances are they're going to get someone from the depressed area of Roxbury and bring that person to the new area of where they just built these houses, and they're going to bring the same mind. Well, when we became Christians, we brought that same defeated mind. It is identified in our language. How are you today? Well, praise the Lord, I'm just holding on. Holding on is a term for unbelievers. When a believer is asked, how are you? I'm victorious, even if you're not.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go and To My Blessing, or the program number 064-19A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God. Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. invites you to three nights of discussions that will empower you to grow closer with the Lord and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's happening Wednesday, July 17th, Thursday, July 18th, and Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. It is Bishop Lambert's heart for every believer to understand the principles of God, develop a renewed mind, and strive to achieve an abundant life in Christ. Plan now to be a part of these three nights of interactive discussions that will enlighten believers as we prepare to develop and move to the other side of growth in our life with Christ. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday, July 17th through Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly. Call 215-885-2585 for more information. Join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian M. Weatherspoon as they present another in-depth study of ministry training at the next Making of a Minister session on Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come prepared to delve into biblical exegesis and learn how to craft your sermon. These sessions are free, but you must register to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit www.betheldeliverance.org. Don't miss these empowering sessions that will equip you with the proper tools for preaching and teaching the Word of God. We look forward to seeing you at the next Making of a Minister session, Saturday, July 27th, at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Iron sharpens iron.
The Climbing Higher radio broadcast features dynamic teaching brought to you by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and the media ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Through this outreach, believers are empowered to walk in daily victory. Non-believers are enlightened to seek a relationship with the Lord. Families are strengthened through teachings that examine dynamics of their relationships. And overall, the Lord is being lifted up through the airwaves around the globe. We invite you to partner with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church as we seek to impact our culture with the unadulterated Word of God and the power of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God changes lives, and in these last days, we need to reach as many souls as possible with the message of truth. Jesus saves. He not only came to save our souls from eternal damnation, but He came to give us abundant life while here on this earth. You can help us reach the world with this message. Simply go to the BethelDeliverance.org media tab and scroll down to the Bethel Media Outreach Partnership link to safely give online with a one-time gift, or you can set up recurring payments for monthly donations. It's safe, quick, easy, and impactful. For more information or to speak with a representative, call 215-885-2585, extension 409. We thank you for standing with us as we continue to further the kingdom of God.